Thank you again for your word. You have said that if we will meditate on the law day and night, that we'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And we will bring forth fruit in its season. And whatever we put our hands to will prosper. Lord, we want to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We want to be able to stand firm in the midst of flood or storm. We want to be able to shine for you when difficult times and hard times come. And we pray that you would not only bless this night, but every night that we gather together with our Bibles open in anticipation of what you are going to do and how you are going to work as we turn to your word. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we pick it up in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, "This is the book of genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created." Now, the last time that we were in Genesis, which was last year, sounds like a long time ago. The last time we were covered chapters 3 and 4, which is the fall and then the violence that followed the fall. You had the fall where there was a promise of death, sin bringing death. And then you have the first two sons born. One of them kills the other. And you've got Lamech there in chapter 4 who kills somebody else. And violence found its way upon the earth from the very beginning. And remember, there were no gangs in those days. There were no movies in those days. There was no rap music in those days. A lot of times we blame our environment. The reason that the world is so violent, the reason there's so many, is because of the environment that's out there. No. The reason the environment is out there is because the heart of man is sinful. And you put us in the perfect environment, and maybe the lack of stress would cause less things to happen, but evil would still find its way out of the heart of man. And so at the end of chapter 4, we read that God gave Eve another son named Seth. And that Seth, that man began to call upon the name of the Lord at that point. And here in the first couple verses, we read that God blessed them. I think it's important for us to note, some people believe that we are under a curse. Certainly, the ground was cursed. And I think more than the ground was cursed, to tell you the truth, nothing's easy, is it? I said that last night as I came out of my bathroom. I went in and there was a leak in the toilet, and I looked and the little flapper's got a hole in it. And so I had to go get another flapper today for it. And I went to go turn off the water, and it's in an awkward spot. I don't know what they were thinking when they built the house. It was built in 62. I guess maybe they weren't. But it's down underneath and it's right on the floor, and I couldn't get a grip on it and turn it. I think I probably could have when I was younger, but a little arthritis. I just couldn't get it turned. And finally marched on, I got a pair of pliers, and I came back, and it's this way, and it's for my right hand, it's this way, and it took me a little while. I walked back out and I told my wife, "Nothing is easy. Why isn't anything easy? Why can't you just go back in and do it?" Well, when it comes to making a living, isn't that true? And I think that it's all part of the curse. I think that the curse was the curse of the ground. And by the sweat of your brow, you will bring things forth. And it's not only for those who cultivate in the ground that things are tough. It's tough for all of us. It's stressful for all of us. But it is important to remember, the man wasn't cursed. The ground was cursed. The serpent was cursed. Eve would have pain in childbearing, but man wasn't cursed. Those preachers, those teachers who teach that we're under a curse and we got to get... the Bible never says that. Certainly, men curse one another. Certainly, you want to find favor with God, but God wants to bless mankind. God's looking for ways to bless you. God's looking for ways to bless me. I had quoted Psalms 1 in our prayer. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sits in the seat of the sinners, sinners, the scornful people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that, I should have turned there. In that law does he meditate day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When we turn to God's word, God blesses us. God told Joshua, only be very careful to do all that is written in the law. Then you will have success, and then you will prosper. God wants to bless you. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, he who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Certainly there is a cause, there is a call, there is a purpose that you and I have in the work that we are to do. We are willing to sacrifice and give for the sake of that call, for the sake of that cause of Christ. But also understanding that God blesses us. God wants to bless us. And here, even at this point, God blessed man. Even living in this violent world, and it will become so violent that God will become sorry that he made mankind. And yet here, he blessed him. God blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son. Now, that just sounds strange, doesn't it? 130 years and he has a kid, his own likeness, after his image. And he named him Seth. And he begat Seth in the days of Adam, where 800 years he had sons and daughters. Now let's talk some about the longevity of the men that we find before the flood. It seemed like, well, the longest anyone lived was Methuselah, 969 years. Several other longer ones were into 900 years. Some died late into 800 years. There have been some suggestions as to why this was the case. That before the flood, it was possible that there was a canopy of water that was up in our atmosphere, and that that blocked the radiation from the sun, and it's the radiation that does the most damage, even to our internal organs. Did you know that radiation just passes through us? Radio waves are radiation. There's just radiations all around us, and it's causing damage. And so it was thought that perhaps the atmosphere was a little bit better back then. Perhaps this water in the atmosphere kept the radiation away, and man lived longer. Then after the flood, it's interesting, the days seem to taper off. You have, you know, some guys, Noah lives 500 and, well, lives about a couple hundred years after the flood. And then you've got some guys that live 200 and something years. And then by the time you're at Abraham, he's 140 years. And it just kind of drops down to 120 years being the kind of the outside of how long someone will live. I think it's possible that that's true. I think it's hard to be dogmatic about that. I think it's possible that God just made a genetic change after the flood. That for whatever reason, God decided 900 years is too long. And maybe it was because of the violence and the wickedness of man. Maybe it's because of where technology would go if we were alive for 900 years. Maybe it's mercy. We don't really think of that when we think about us dying at a certain point. But the Bible says, with many days comes much sorrow. And how that statement is true. And so if we lived 900 years, could you imagine? Some of you guys are shaking your head right now going, no way, no way. I don't want it. I don't want 900 years. 900 years is too long. So God's plan, perhaps, in the beginning, was that man would live 900 and something years. God's plan in the beginning may have been that he would live forever once he was born, that he would live forever. But God's plan then, but fallen man, the state of the earth that we are in, the tragedies that take place, God decided to reduce the number of days. Or we can say for sure that the number of days were reduced. And maybe it was something genetic. Maybe it's a combination of those two. Maybe there were some genetic things that changed after the flood, and longevity seemed to be greatly reduced at that point. Now, I'm going to give you the meanings of the names The root words of the names as we make our way through this genealogy. Chuck Missler. How many of you guys are familiar with Chuck Missler? Chuck Missler has a ministry called Koinonia House. And Chuck has something that he calls the treasures of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5 is one of them. And he covers the names here and what the root words, the root meanings of these names are, and the statement that is made when you put them together. So I want to cover that with you as we make our way through here. Chuck Missler is also big on Bible codes. I'm not so big on Bible codes. You guys understand what I'm talking about when I say Bible codes? It's the computers that have been made that look for, you know, patterns. This, you know, every so many letters, something that's spelled out. And I'm not saying that God didn't put any codes in the Bible. Certainly the Bible says that God conceals a matter, that God does conceal. God certainly has hidden things in Scripture that we dig out and discover. And I'm thankful for that because over the years, I've made some great discoveries in God's Word and how excited I get as I find a discovery that's there. And maybe the Bible codes are true. I don't know. I'm just a little skeptical. But if you guys know me, I am skeptical. If I can't get my hands on it, if I can't draw the lines, when I was told at, I don't know what I was, 21 or 22, that Methuselah died in the year of the flood, I made a chart drawing out all the lines and then double-checked the chart to make sure that that's exactly what happened. I like to get my hands on it. When I'm told, well, there's a supercomputer now, and I don't know that term's, I got a supercomputer in my car, it's my cell phone, but you know, there's a computer that's been able to calculate the Bible and come up with these codes, and here's what they said, and Issachar Rabin was said that he was going to die, was one of the codes. The Twin Towers were said to have, you know, come down when that's been looked for in the codes. And I wonder, is that computer tweaked to look for these certain things? You take any work of art, any writing, you put them into the computer, do things come out? Do you find codes in there? What I do know is that there are Christians who are a lot smarter than I am, who have looked at it and who have said, I don't really think it's true. And then there are those who are really bright, and Chuck Missler being one of them, who look at it and go, I think it's right. And they get excited about the Bible codes. For me, I'm skeptical. That's all. I don't know whether it's true or not. I think I could spend the rest of my life looking at the plain meaning of the text of the Bible and never discover all that God has said in the plain meaning of the text. That I don't need to go looking for codes in every 15th letter in the Hebrew Bible. That's just me. I'm not saying it's bad if you're all into that, okay? More power to you. I'm glad you are, because somebody's got to be, but I'm not. However, I do find some other aspects interesting. This hidden treasure, as Chuck Missler says, is interesting to me. So I'll give you the meanings of the names right off of his website, by the way, that I have up here, and I'm going to give them to you. I was going to write them all down today, and I thought, why? I'll just take my little iPad and write off the website. So Adam's name, and this is simple, is man. So Adam means man. So if you want to write them down, you could write them down in a sentence, or you could write them down up and down, and then we'll read them. Just a list of them. Seth's name means appointed. You remember that Eve said, God has appointed another son to replace the one who was killed. And so his name is appointed. And in order for Chuck Missler to get this, by the way, he goes to the root meanings of the words. Which he does. He goes back down to the root meanings of the words. And so then we have Seth being appointed. And let's read through this genealogy. Let me just give you these. And we'll get it out of the way. And then we'll come back and we'll read through line by line. So Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. Mahalalel. Whenever you find a name with E-L on the end of it, E-L is Hebrew. So Mahalalel means the blessed God. Or excuse me, E-L is Hebrew for God, like Israel is ruled by God. So Mahalalel is the blessed God. Jared is he shall come down. Enoch is teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. We'll talk more about that in a minute, because remember, Methuselah died in the year of the flood, and his death will bring, or when he dies, it will take place, is another translation that I've heard. His death shall bring Lamech, the despairing, and Noah, rest or comfort. So, did you get those? Did you get them all written down? No? Want me to go over them again? No? Yes? Adam is man. Seth is appointed. Enosh is mortal. Kenan is sorrow. Mahalalel is the blessed God. Jared, he shall come down. Enoch, teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, the despairing. And Noah, rest or comfort. Now, let's read them together and listen to what it says. Man appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Which is very powerful. And now I'm able to get my hands on this. It's not like the Bible codes. I actually can go back to the root meanings of the word now. You can go to the root meanings of the words of Methuselah and you can look this up yourself. And it's very powerful. And perhaps it's something that God has put there, the gospel in these 10 names and in this genealogy. So let's pick it back up again then in verse 4. After he begat Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So the days of that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. When we have Q&As, which we haven't had one in a while, but when we have them, where did Cain get his wife will always come up. In fact, I think the next Q&A, I'm going to like have five questions right out of the chute that I'm going to cover right away. So we don't get it. My 18-year-old, now he'll be 18 this week, I guess. So he's still 17. But he says, his sister, it's kind of gross, but it's true. They had sons and daughters in those days, and he would have found them from his sister. And that's just what happened. And then verse 5. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enosh. And after he begat Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 920 years and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begat Canaan, or better, Kenan. After he begat Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. Now, this is the lineage of Seth, as opposed to the lineage of Cain that we looked at in chapter 4. So there's two lineages going on. You have Cain living in cities, and you've got Seth now. And remember that it was during the time of Seth that man began to call upon the name of the Lord. We pick it up then in verse 12. Kenan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. After he begat Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and begat other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 75 years and begat Jared. After he begat Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When I first taught through the book of Genesis 23 or 4 years ago now, Mahalalel gave me a lot of trouble. It was a tough name, and by the time I got to the end of it, I said, and Mahalalel died, and I'm glad he died. I'm less happy that he died now that I can pronounce his name better. It says, Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Now, Enoch was the first prophet that we know of. We have some of the prophecies of Enoch. Enoch lived before the flood, and Enoch's prophecies had to do with the second coming of Jesus. So he begat Enoch, and Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. That's pretty long, by the way, 962 years. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 186 years and begat Lamech. Now let's talk about Enoch for a few moments. When God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says that after they had sinned, that God came to walk with them in the cool of the evening. I love the way it's worded there. The thought of God coming to spend time with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the garden. We were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to know Him. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't been saved and developed a relationship with Him, then you are lacking. You will always be lacking. You will always be missing something. I think that what Billy Graham used to say in his crusades was so powerful, that there is a God-shaped hole inside of every one of us. And until God fills that hole, you will not be satisfied. You may try to fill it with all kinds of other things, but only God can satisfy that. We were made to walk with God. We were made to fellowship with Him. We were made to get everything out of the way and love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we do that, it's very powerful for us. When we're able to truly grasp a hold of that and actually live it. So man sins and he's kicked out of the garden. There's no more walks with God in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve have their two sons, and one kills the other, and Cain's descendants go out and they live and they become violent. And then it says Seth is born, and then people begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now we come to Enoch, and Enoch has this relationship with God where he walks with Him. Enoch walked with God and was no more because God took him. Now, when it says God took him, I believe that Enoch is one of the only two guys in the Bible that never died. The other guy would be Elijah. It's one of the reasons that I kind of lean towards Enoch and Elijah being the two witnesses of Revelation. I know a lot of guys go with Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets represented by them. And that may be true, but I kind of think, you know, Moses, even though there's a controversy about his body, Moses died. Remember that Satan wants access to his body, and so some believe that that had to do with him coming back as one of the two witnesses, maybe. But I think that these two guys, that it's appointed once for man to die. And but Enoch becomes a type of the rapture. His son will be born. His son will live 969 years, and then the flood will come. And Enoch is walking with God and then taken by God. And I believe that it is a type of the rapture of the church, God taking them. Noah and his family may be a type of the rapture of the church as well, being lifted up above the destruction. But the fact that Enoch is taken, walks with God and is taken. What does it take for you and I to be taken up in the rapture? The Bible says that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We are not all going to sleep." And by sleep, he meant die. We are not all going to sleep. But some of us are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruptible, and this mortal will put on immortality. In 1 Thessalonians, we studied, this is one of our last books in the New Testament that we've been at. We studied the passage that says, "And we will meet the Lord in the air. And we will forever be with Him. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord." And the word "caught up" there in the Latin Vulgate is the word raptura, which is where we get rapture from. So when we say rapture, we're meaning caught up, that God catches us up. Now I realize that we live in a day where mockers don't come from outside of the church. We live in a day when mockers come from inside of the church. Mockers for this promise that we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and some aren't going to die. They say, "Come on, you really believe that Jesus is going to come back for you and take you up to be with him? Yes, I do. Why? Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, I'm going away. And if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. He didn't say, I'm going to come back and hang out with you on earth for 1,000 years. He said, I'm going to come get you so that you can be where I am. That will be in heaven for at least 7 years, and then back down on the earth for those 1,000 years. Jesus said, pray. In Luke 21, the end of the chapter there, verses 34, 35, 36, 37, he said, pray that you'd be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come upon this earth. He talked about pestilence and plagues and destruction and earthquakes and all kinds of things that are going to happen in the last days. Jesus said there is a time coming upon this earth that is worse than anything that ever has been, or worse than anything that ever will be. And the heart of the book of Revelation covers a seven-year period, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. And it's believed that that's what Jesus was making reference to. Then at the end of that chapter, he says, you pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. All these things that will happen to those who dwell on the earth and stand before the Son of Man. And so Jesus told us that we were to pray that we would escape those things. People say, well, and I don't know why they throw American in there. You're just an American who has an escape mentality. Yes, and yes, again, I am an American. I don't know what gave it away. I am an American, and I do have an escape mentality. Call me spiritual Houdini if you want to. I want to escape those things that will happen upon this earth. Listen, because I believe that that time is coming, because I believe that it could be in our day, because I believe that the people around us that we minister to that may hear these studies on the radio or on television, or that you may share with and work with, will go into that time. It drives us. It should drive us to purity. It should drive us to share the gospel so that when that happens, we will have laid the foundations for them, because they're going to need that foundation to be laid. You say, well, you believe God's just going to come back. Jesus is going to come back, take you and meet you in the air. Well, he took Enoch. If he took Enoch, why can't he take us? Is it beyond God to be able to take us? Does God no longer do miracles? Is God done with miracles? Is he finished with them? God still works miracles in our day. God still will, and he intervenes in mankind. And Enoch becomes, I believe, a type of the rapture. So what does it take for us to go with God in the rapture? People say, well, what if I'm left behind? First of all, bummer if you're left behind, okay? Not good. But what does it take to make sure that I'm not left behind? I think Enoch becomes an example. Enoch walked with God. You know God. Jesus said, away from me, for I never knew you. Jesus said in John 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and the Son whom he sent. It's knowing God. It's loving God. It's walking with God. That's when you are taken. You say, well, what if I'm not walking with God? Well, Jesus said, be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man is coming back, so be ready. People say, well, he didn't really mean be ready. Really? What did he mean? When he said, I could come back at a time you don't know, be ready, be watchful. He said, you know, the guy knew what time the thief was going to come. He wouldn't have had anything stolen from him. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, so we got to be ready all the time. Hi. Stay ready. We try to stay ready. Walk with him, know him, love him, knowing that today could be the day. Now, Methuselah, it says Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch is a prophet. Enoch names his son. When he dies, it will take place, or he shall bring forth. And when you map it out, Enoch dies and the flood comes. So if God spoke to Enoch to name his son a sign that at the end of his life, the flood was going to come. And that now it's set in stone. Now the date is set. And when Methuselah dies, God's going to destroy the world. But as a sign of God's grace, Methuselah, who dies before the flood happens, or on the day of the flood, is the longest man to ever live. It speaks to us of the tremendous grace of God. First Peter tells us that mockers are going to arise. Say, where's the promise of his coming? Here we are, you guys have been talking about this since the days of my grandmother. My grandma believed the rapture was going to happen in her day. And it didn't happen. And here we are, and you're going to believe. But then it said in 1 Peter, God's not slack concerning his promises. But God's desire is that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's desire is that people get saved. And so God is merciful. We talk about why would God judge this world. It's funny because we end up talking out of both sides of our mouth to some degree. We say, you know what? I don't think it's right for God to judge this earth. And I think God ought to just let people live. I don't think that God should judge mankind. But then we hear horrible, awful things that happen. And we go, when is God going to judge this earth? When is God? I am persuaded that God, well, the Bible says it. The Bible says God is more gracious than any man. God's more gracious than you. If you had to see what God sees every night in Tucson alone, you'd probably judge the world tomorrow. You'd say, that's it. Look at those. They're done. It's finished. I'm done with them. But God not only sees what happens in Tucson, he sees what happens in every city around the world. He sees all the horrible, awful things that happen. All the things that man do to men and men do to children. Men do to women and women do to men and women do to children. He sees it all. And yet God is still gracious and God still gives man room to repent because God's giving us room to repent. Because God's gracious. So the fact that he hasn't kept his promise yet that he'll return is what we could call it, the Methuselah factor. God just being gracious. God saying, I want to give you a chance to give your life to me. It goes on to say, then Methuselah, and he begat Methuselah, verse 22. Enoch walked with God. Let's actually go up to verse 24 and verse 25, actually. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. After he begat Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had sons, and he called his name Noah. Had a son, called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work. And remember, his name means comfort. So he named him Noah, comfort, because this one will comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. The ground being cursed again. And he begat Noah. After he begat Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, 200 years less than Methuselah's. Guy died young and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In Genesis chapter 10, we're going to look at a record of genealogy where we can put all of mankind into these three men's lives, categories. Each one of them will represent a category. And Genesis chapter 10, which goes all the way back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then all of the nations and languages of the world coming from them, has been called an amazing document. Because when you take languages and you study them, you find that they are connected exactly as the Bible says that they are connected. And that the people groups come back to these three main people groups. Each person can be traced back to Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And remember, the Bible has been around for 3,500 years, Genesis 5, Genesis 10, And way back then, there's this record that's written, and it just happens to be exactly what people are finding today when they study especially languages and trying to put people groups together, because you can find that languages are related to others. So we'll return to Ham, Shem, and Japheth in chapter 10 to what is a very interesting study in the genealogical record that we find there. With that said, let's stand, let's pray, and wrap things up. Father, we want to thank you. We are moved by what we find here. It's pretty amazing. The names of these men put together, revealing that the Messiah will come down and bring comfort. Lord, we need that comfort in our lives from you. We need you doing that work in us and around us and through us. And we pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would draw us closer to you, help us to love you more, be committed to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless everyone who's here. Lord, bless us. You blessed mankind. Your desire is to bless us. And we read in Psalms 1 how we can be blessed by meditating on your word. And here we are tonight. Lord, we've set this time aside for you to study your word. And we want to be blessed. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.